If we did a little research of all the television series that have ever played, I think we would certainly find two themes at the top of that list. One would be a show based on police and crime, Blue Bloods, Dragnet, Chips, Andy Griffith, Criminal Minds, Hill Street Blues, Law and Order, Walker, Texas Ranger, all those NCI shows, and lots of others. Don't ask me to explain why this genre is so popular, although I think it has something to do with our fascination of sin and getting caught for it. I don't know, though. The other type of most common themed show, and again, this isn't a scientific poll. This is just the world according to Al. But some pretty safe speculation, I think, would be shows that revolve around the medical practice, hospitals, doctors, MASH, for instance, Grey's Anatomy, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, ER, Scrubs, and so on and so forth. Did you know that the soap opera General Hospital, it began in 1963, and it's still on the air. And the very same thing that's happening back in 1963 is still happening on the show. The plot's the same. The only thing that's changed is the actors and the medical technology on it. Why are we so fascinated with this type of show? And I will say, I am not. That's the last kind of show I want to watch. No offense to those of you who work in the medical setting, but that's not my setting. I suppose that one reason might be that the lives of doctors and medical personnel in general are much different than most of ours. Many are on the front line of life and death, and you see that glamorized, of course, on TV because lots of the shows take place in like the emergency room or the battlefield, and we like these stories of human drama. I do not recall a medical show based on the action in a dermatologist office. It's always in the ER. It's always the front line of life and death. Another reason, I suppose, is that the hospital is or will be a familiar setting for all of us. The fact that most of us wind up there as a patient at some point in our lives, maybe many times, and many more when we're visiting friends or loved ones there. None of us are strangers to the hospital eventually. Now, of course, that's not where we want to be, at least most of us. I do know of an older couple back long ago, back when you paid for your medical treatment out of pocket and could actually afford it, that this older couple, they didn't care much for Christmas and all the hullabaloo of Christmas, and so each year they would check themselves into the hospital for a week-long physical. That's pretty strange, but it's true. You could do that back then, apparently. But most of us don't go to the hospital as an alternative vacation destination. That's not how we view the hospital. When we go there, it's usually the last resort for us. We go when there's no other alternative for healing because that's what we're really after all, to be well, to be healthy. Adam and Eve, we've been talking about them in this Advent series. They ushered in a new age for human beings when they first sinned. They went from perfect healthiness. I'm not even sure there was a vocabulary word for health in the language then. It was just what they were. They ushered in a new age, new issues, as it were, and culminating in the most severe health issue of all, and that is death. If you think about it, think about how they were perfect in every way. They introduced the human race to diabetes, heart failure, cancer, cystic fibrosis, melanoma, arthritis, cataracts, and all the rest. Didn't exist before this point. And diseases of the mind as well, because the mind, the brain, is an organ of the body. And ever since, we have been trying to regain our health throughout the ages. If we look at our national economy, and I shudder to look at our national economy. I can't even fathom the zeros and how much we owe. But if you look at our national budget, our economy, a tremendous percentage of it goes towards this very thing, towards health care, and it's getting bigger all the time, as we well know. Our population's aging, nothing's getting cheaper. It's a tremendous part of what we spend and our efforts. Now, Jesus spent roughly 3 years of his life in earthly ministry. And that time was punctuated by a number of instances of healing. We read about those in the Gospels. As we continue to think about the reasons of why he came, why Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to earth as a man, and what he accomplished by doing so, I want to look today at the idea that Jesus came to bring healing. He came to bring healing. Now, let's look at this one particular relevant passage out of the many available. We'll look at Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Now, a couple of quick notes on who and what is involved in this scene. Peter's one of those most well-known disciples. He's also called Simon. He owns a house with his brother Andrew. We can read that in Mark, in the parallel account in Mark chapter 1. From this passage, we also can see that Peter is married. He has a mother-in-law. Jesus and his disciples are in Capernaum. They stop by the house of Peter and Andrew, and there they find Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. Doesn't sound like a big deal to us. Some of us perhaps have had a fever in this very week, or certainly in the last month or so. And you probably took some Motrin or Tylenol or an antibiotic if it was an infection of some kind, and it passed. But in that age and place and time, a fever could often mean death. There were no antibiotics or treatments that we now enjoy and find commonplace for all the many diseases and illnesses that circulated. It was very serious. So Jesus enters. He sees Peter's mother-in-law sick. He pulls out his medical kit and gives her an antibiotic, a shot even, an aspirin for the fever. And he comes back the next day to check on her, and she's better. Right? Is that what the account says? Not at all. Not at all. He simply touches her, and she's healed. That quickly, that completely, it's all done. So much that she hops up and she begins to act as hostess for Jesus. Now, isn't she a go-getter? And the word spreads quickly in the community, obviously, so that by the evening, many are coming to the house, those who are physically sick, but as well those who are in spiritual bondage to demons. Of course, this shows us that Jesus has power and authority over all things, even demonic spirits. The Pharisees will later accuse him of being in league with the demons, but Jesus corrects him on that in Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. That is so, so true. He's not in league. He wouldn't drive the demons away if he were in league with them. They're on the same team if that were the case. He heals the physically sick, and he prevails over those who are spiritually oppressed. Jesus healed people. Come one, come all, he healed them. And the question is, Why did he heal them? Well, in part, we see that mentioned in verse 17. It says, this, that is the healing, was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So part of the answer to the question of why Jesus healed is that it was a confirmation to the people of all the Old Testament prophecies that they'd been taught and that they longed to see fulfilled, of a Messiah who would come with healing power. It was a sign of the Savior, of the one that God had promised. This was the main reason for the healing, to confirm that he was who had been prophesied of old, the Messiah. Why else did he heal? What did it point to? Verse 17 continues, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And that's a loose translation again from Isaiah 53:4, which says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's a loose translation of that same idea. Another reason Jesus healed us was to take away our pain. Our self-inflicted pain brought about through the fall brought us into the sinful condition that we live under. And he did that in one sense by assuming the hurt upon himself. Now, I'll explain that more in just a moment, but if you're asking yourself at this point, and I hope you would, why did Jesus heal just those few people in just that small area for just a couple of years? What about everyone else? Those are good questions. You need to ask them. Why not heal me or my loved one who's suffering? Why doesn't he heal everyone all the time, every place? And I'll answer it by asking this question. What do you think eventually happened to all those people that Jesus healed? Well, some of them had heart attacks or accidents or future illnesses or just got older and older until they all died. Let's take it one step further. What happened to perhaps the most critical biblical patient of all, Lazarus? He was already dead when Jesus healed him, long dead. What happened to Lazarus after Jesus brought him back to life? He died, of course. Jesus did not come to heal so that patients could then live in peace and prosperity on earth forever. We can rest assured that's not why he did it. He didn't heal so they could have an easy life, an easy time of things. He didn't heal because he wanted, I'm quoting some things, he wanted them to live their best life now and they really deserved it, really deserved good health. That's a very sad lie, and I hope you never buy into that if you read that title on a book in Walmart in the stand while you're waiting. He did not come to bring perfect physical health to people. So if you don't have perfect physical health, rest assured you're like everyone else. Jesus healed so that those people would have faith in the healer, that it would point back to him, that they would ultimately believe in him for a greater healing, the spiritual kind. Jesus healed broken bodies to show something far greater, to teach people that their broken, aimless spirits could be healed as well. They did that, and still do by accepting that Jesus is indeed the author, the physician, the cure for sin. He is. He cures the spiritual sickness by taking it upon himself and offering us salvation instead. In the words of Isaiah, again, a lot of Isaiah points to Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His stripes, that is His wounds, we are healed. Theologian and preacher Matthew Henry said this of Christ, that He bore all this pain for us in His passion. That is, He took this burden of sin upon Himself out of His extreme love for us, His passion for us. Jesus took the root cause of every sickness, which is human sin, and He took that away at His own cost. He bears that burden of spiritual healing on His own shoulders, and that cure is an eternal one. It does not pass. It does not die away. Our bodies will eventually fall apart if we do happen to escape accident or some sort of severe illness. Even the healthiest of us will. Even the healthy of us are going to go if Jesus tarries longer and doesn't come first. I'm reminded of that more and more every time I read 2 Corinthians 4, where it talks about us as jars of clay or earthen vessels. What a descriptive picture. An earthen vessel, a jar of clay, crumbles a little bit at a time, a little by little, until it's broken and gone. But the spiritual healing of Christ that He offers to us is eternal, and it will lead to our forever enjoyment in paradise. And Jesus continues to offer this to every single person who accepts Him, every single one. Jesus came to heal, not with band-aids, something far more than the body, something far more permanent. I remember the first time I ever saw the product Nu Skin, back when it was new, back when it was first released. One of the boys had cut themselves open, as little boys do, and we took them to the doctor expecting stitches, and they whipped out a bottle of basically glue and applied it, and lo and behold, heal. You know, all stuck together and healing nicely. Nu Skin. This is not a paid advertisement for Nu Skin, by the way. There are other products out there. Jesus did heal some people during His earthly ministry, much better than this, completely, instantly. He did heal some people in that small area of the world for a few years long ago, and in miraculous healings. Those who were blind and leprous, crippled, feverish, withered, even dead. That healing's not quite the word for that one. That's resurrection. He did some tremendous things with people in all sorts of health issues. But He did it mostly to show that there was healing available for an even greater hurt. The hurt in the heart caused by sin. And that they might believe and be saved from this fatal sin condition that we all carry with us. And that others may hear of the healing and know Him as well. That through healing, they would not simply have new skin, but a new heart. Amen. Let us pray.